12. Let's read this first. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman, the Cushite woman, whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only with Moses? Hath he not spoken also with us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men that were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, Come out, ye three, unto the tent of meeting. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the door of the tent and called Aaron and Miriam, and they came forth. And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision. I will speak with him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so. He is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even manifestly, and not in dark speeches. And the form of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then, were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud removed from over the tent, and behold, Miriam was leprous, as white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, O my Lord, lay not, I pray thee, sin upon us, for that we have done foolishly, and for that we have sinned. Let her not, I pray thee, be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And the Lord cried, and Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut up without the camp 7 days, and after that she shall be brought in again. And Miriam was shut up without the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. Now chapter 20. Verse 1. And the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. That's all it says. She died and was buried there. But here we read also about Aaron and his death. Look at verse 24. Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye rebelled against my word at the waters of Meribah. 28. So Aaron died there on the top of the mount, and Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. And when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they wept for Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel. You'll find another reference in the book of Micah. And so let's just look at it. Turn to the book of Micah if you can find it. Verse 4. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of bondage. And I set before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Now, let's turn to Deuteronomy, Turn to Deuteronomy. Chapter 24. Because here is a distinguishing feature about Miriam that's similar to another. Deuteronomy 24, and look at verse 8. Take heed in the plague of leprosy, that you observe diligently and do according to all that the priests, the Levites, shall teach you. As I commanded them, so shall you observe to do. Remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam by the way as you came forth out of Egypt. And now, let's look in Exodus 15, because we have to find out about Miriam in a good light. Exodus 15, verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. And now they sing this song, and verse 19, for the horses of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea. And the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel walked on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Now, let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for all the things you tell us in your word. Let us know that some of them we would never have known, we would never think of unless you told us. And others, our God, with them you cause us to search our inward parts and find out what we are within, whereas we would seldom manifest such character before the eyes of men. We thank you for the good things and the bad things that thou hast shown us concerning these siblings. We've not read about the things that Moses did that were wrong. But our Father, we understand about Miriam and Aaron, and so we pray that we shall learn and be profited and be warned from what we've read this night. So bless our study, we ask of thee. We thank you for the blessings of the day. You helped us earlier, and now help us at the close of the day. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I read you, except for two portions that tell us about the genealogy of Miriam. I read the portions telling us about her, but one of the most important portions we find in Exodus chapter 2, but we don't get her name there. It speaks about Moses' sister. And Moses' sister was the little girl who, when the parents of Moses made an ark of bulrushes and put it in the flags by the river, it says Miriam, the sister, was standing at a distance watching what happened. We aren't given her name in that chapter, but she was a little girl when the maids of Pharaoh found that little ark of bulrushes and opened it, and Pharaoh's daughter saw it, and Moses cried. And Pharaoh's daughter said, "Why, this is one of the Hebrews' children." And Miriam came forward and said, "Do you want me to go and get a nurse for you to take care of this baby?" And it was agreeable to Pharaoh's daughter. And so all through her life, every time Miriam, the oldest sister of Moses, saw him, she could say, "You're alive today because of what I did. Had I not rescued you, no telling what would have happened." So think of that advantage she had over Moses. She was his older sister, and at the very beginning of Moses' life, because of her wise behavior, his life had been preserved. She was the instrument that God had used to take Moses from death and put him in the arms of his own mother to nurse him until what time he was weaned and could be taken back to Pharaoh's daughter. And so from the very first, she was instrumental in the life of Moses. I have no doubt that this gifted child was one who was able to do things and wanted to take the lead. Because later on, and this is what is so sad, it tells us good things about her gift, but then it tells us bad things about her gift when there is a rebellion against Moses. It does not say, as we would ordinarily read, Aaron and Miriam, a man and a woman, but it says Miriam and Aaron resented the fact about Moses' marriage to this Ethiopian woman. But we read in Exodus 15, and this is what I want to bring to your attention, that in Exodus 15, this is what we learn about the woman. That she was a prophetess, gifted the same way that Aaron, her brother, the prophet, was gifted. The same gift in a woman as in a man, because God, both in the New Testament and in the Old, gifts with the gift of prophecy both men and women. So she has this gift, but more than that, she has the gift of singing. She is a musician. She plays instruments of music, and she's able to take charge of the other women and lead them as they sing songs of triumph when Pharaoh and his army had been destroyed at the Red Sea. So think of this woman and how she might feel as she goes through life. Here is Moses, and he is now the leader of the children of Israel. He is God's prophet. And when people looked at him and admired him, she could say, "He owes his life to me. I've taken care of him and preserved him since he was a child." And at the same time, if Moses could prophesy, she could say, "I also can prophesy." And if Moses was musical, and even though he protested that he had no ability, yet this song in Exodus 15, and I do not know if Moses wrote it, or it may have been that Miriam wrote it, but I know the one who was conducting it, the one who was enabling the women to sing back and forth about the victory that the nation of Israel had by the help of God over Pharaoh and his army of the Egyptians. So here is this woman, and she is the one who now is to be led simply as a follower, not in the position of leadership over the nation of Israel, but in a position when she can prophesy, and she can sing, and she can dance, and she can play musical instruments. She has all of that ability. And when they're ready to make music, they would call Miriam, just as when we are ready to make music, we call Steve and Tommy and Nick. You see, we have all these people here in Goldsboro, and they are called on the occasions to accompany us when we make music. So think of the value of this woman. But what is so sad is this. When a person starts comparing themselves with others, and then comparing themselves with the person that is over them in the journey through life that God has sent us upon. Here is Moses, and he is the one to whom God speaks. God does not speak directly to Aaron, but God speaks directly to Moses, and God says, now you go and tell Aaron. And then anything that Aaron had to say to the children of Israel, Aaron was the one who was the mouthpiece of Moses. He could have done it himself, but evidently he had a complex about his lack of ability, even though evidently we've seen from everything he wrote in the Bible that he was a man of great ability. Because at the end of his life, God said, now, I want you to write a song for the children of Israel. And he wrote that song in Deuteronomy, and he was so gifted that he was able in that song to put words that will remind the children of Israel for the rest of their lives the dangers of being led of God and yet disobeying God. Bring to their attention their shortcomings, their failures, the dangers that lay before them. And Moses was responsible for writing that song. So, here is what happens. She sees Moses, and she says to Aaron, because she talks it over with him, that's the sad thing, she says, our brother Moses, why, he is in a position of such importance, and what we ought to let him know is this, that we are just as good as he is. Who is the one that is the high priest that goes into the Holy of Holies and makes atonement for the children of Israel? To whom do they bring their sacrifices when they want their sins covered? It's you. And I have prophesied, and I lead in music, and he owes his life to me. And now, without consulting us, without listening to our opinion, he has gone and married this Ethiopian woman. And so they spoke out in this injurious way against Moses. And it says, God heard them. If you speak against me, and I'm supposed to be reproved and rebuked, that's good. I want God to hear it. But if you wrongly speak against me and accuse me falsely and say that I'm in a position that I should not have, whereas God has put me in that position, it says this, that God hears that as well. They then that feared the Lord spake often one with another, and the Lord hearkened. So the Lord is listening to conversations. And so they think that because they are older than Moses, and because Moses owes so much to them and is dependent upon them, Aaron, don't you see that he can't speak? He has to get you to speak to the people for him. And don't you see that I am the one who has to lead in music? Why, he's in a position of too much importance. And so they talk with one another about it. And so now he's going to marry this woman. And we didn't tell him he could marry that woman. And for that reason, they speak out against Moses. And the sad thing is that God hears them. And God is going to do something about it. What is so sad is that often you and I hear someone speak against another person wrongfully, and we say absolutely nothing. We do not come to that person's defense. A sister speaking against a sister, or a brother against a brother, wrongly so. But what happens is that God says that isn't to be the way that it is. And as soon as they speak out against Moses, God appears suddenly and he calls them to account. And I'm so thankful in this sense that they spoke against Moses, because unless they had all these characteristics about Moses, these excellent points as to his leadership and as to his character, we would not have known. This is the chapter where we read this. Moses was the meekest man. There was no man that was meeker upon the earth than Moses. And what is remarkable is that when they spoke out against Moses, we read nowhere that he rebuked them or said that you are wrong. He simply held his peace and let God handle the matter. Now, let me tell you this. When a man marries a woman, at times, you and I, if he marries a woman that is rich, we say he married her because of her money. And then, if she's not rich, but she has an attractive appearance, he married her because of the way she looks, you see. Or, if she is someone whom we consider inferior, why, he's married someone that's inferior to him. And because of that, however we may personally feel about it, I have this much sense. If a man chooses to marry a woman as Moses chose to marry that Ethiopian woman, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. And you had better keep it shut too. Because, evidently, he had every right to marry that woman because God did not rebuke him and God did not sit in judgment upon him. And so for that reason, unless something like this happens, and if this happens, I will come and rebuke you. If you say, I'm ready to get married now, and I found this lovely woman, and I want her to be my wife, and I say, well, don't you know that this woman has a living husband? That she divorced him? You're going to marry this woman? You can't do that. Do you not know that God forbids? The Bible says, if a woman has been put away and she marries another, adultery is going to be committed. Yes, I will speak out against that. And not only so, but if this woman is evidently unsaved and you are saved and you're going to marry her, yes, I will speak against her. And I will speak against you and tell you those things. But if because of a woman that I say, I don't think he should marry her, and yet there is no scriptural reason forbidding it, I'd better keep my mouth shut. And let me never forget that. And what happens is this. With them, it's the last straw. You see, God has exalted Moses to this high position. And yes, they are in high positions, but they are not honored the way that Moses is honored. And now, he has degraded himself by marrying this woman, and so they speak out against Moses. And God has to put them in their place. God tells us about Moses things that we never would have known. He says, yes, you have the gift of prophecy, but when I come to you, I will come in a lesser way of revelation than I do with Moses. When I reveal things to Moses, I will do it mouth to mouth, not the way that I reveal myself to you. And not only so, my servant Moses is faithful in all my house. So think of this. Here is Aaron, the high priest. And is Aaron faithful in all God's house? Why, when Moses went to the top of Mount Sinai and left Aaron in charge down in the valley, when he came down, Aaron was so unfaithful that he had made a calf of gold and the people were practicing idolatry. And so isn't this a strange thing? How quickly you forget the sins that you have committed. And you forget the faithfulness of those that are over you in the Lord, and you're ready to sit in judgment upon them, whereas the Lord Jesus says, before you would take the mote out of your brother's eye, look at that big plank that is sticking out of your eye. Consider your great faults before you criticize someone for a small fault. It does not mean if people do things wrong, we are not to speak to them. If thy brother sin, rebuke him. And if he hears you, you have gained your brother. But be sure that it's a sin. It's not some personal thing that you dislike that is not wrong according to the scripture, but you do not like. And so for this, God afflicted Miriam with leprosy because of her presumption to speak against Moses. You might ask the question, well, Aaron, her brother, spoke against him as well. Why not afflict him with leprosy also? For this reason, he is the high priest of Israel, and for him to be afflicted with leprosy would prevent his coming near to God because he would be unclean, impure. And I wonder if the nation of Israel would accept him anymore. Who is your high priest? He's Aaron. Oh, that man that had leprosy, and he is your high priest. And God will tell you that there are certain qualifications that the high priest must have. All priests that approach the altar to serve God. And Moses' brother Aaron would have been set aside. And so God rebukes Aaron, but he puts leprosy upon Moses' older sister Miriam. And God knows that unless Aaron and Moses had intervened, she would have lived the rest of her life as a leper, and she would have to remain outside the camp of Israel. They saw this because there was nothing in the portion that tells us that God was going to do anything about her leprosy. But Aaron confessed his sin, along with the sin of Miriam, his sister, and he spoke and said to Moses to intercede. Isn't that remarkable? This man that we're as good as you are, well then, Aaron, why don't you go and start praying to God? Why don't you go and get something done? Aaron sees his inferiority in this case. And therefore, he speaks to Moses. And Moses, in another one of his qualities, even though his brother and sister have sinned against him, he could have said this, you see what happens? You spoke against me unjustly, and now you are a leper, and I want you to remain a leper for the rest of your life. Thank God there is goodness in Moses. I remember when the nation of Israel sinned, and God said, leave me alone, and let my wrath wax hot against them, and I will destroy them, and I will make of you a great nation. And Moses fell upon his face and interceded for the nation of Israel. And so this is another quality of Moses. He's not one that criticized people the way that Aaron and Miriam did. And when people criticized him, when they sinned against him and against God, he was one that interceded for him. And so this is bringing out the greatness of the character of Moses. And the greatness of his character is enhanced by the blackness of the smallness, the critical spirit of Miriam, who had so many good qualities, and Aaron, who had good qualities. And yet, the superiority of Moses shines out more brightly when they criticize him, and God puts them side by side and compares them. Now, here is another thing that will never be forgotten, because Miriam can be compared now in the way that Lot's wife is used in the Bible as a comparison. When Lot's wife, whose heart was in Sodom, was told, do not look back, get out of the city, flee for your lives, it says that Lot's wife looked back, and God turned her into a pillar of salt. And our Savior says in Luke 17, remember Lot's wife. How sad that a woman is to be remembered, not for a good thing that she did. Let me ask you, concerning the one who anointed our Savior's feet, Mary, what about her? The Lord Jesus said she shall be remembered the rest of her life wherever the gospel is preached, for the good thing that she did. And tell me about Miriam. Yes, I can remember when she sang, when she prophesied, when she led the ladies, when she played musical instruments. But what else do you remember? Does it say that she's to be remembered for those things? No. It says she is to be remembered because of her leprosy. And God forbid that with all the good things that can be said about me and are told us, that it's reminded the children of Israel that this woman was a leper. And it says, remember about Miriam and her leprosy. That's what it says about her in the book of Deuteronomy. So here are Moses, brother and sister. And what is so sad is that I have to tell you about a comparison of others. Here are siblings, and there is rivalry among siblings, not by Moses. Moses, at the very beginning, when God said, I want you to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt, he said, Lord, he said, I'm not able to do it. Send it by the one whom you would send. Now, no doubt, if he had gone to Aaron and Miriam and said, I want you to be the singer, Miriam, and I want you, Aaron, not only to be the high priest, but I want you to be the shepherd of Israel and lead them out. They would say, yes, we're ready. But in the case of Moses, Moses in his meekness said no. So here is another instance where the inferiority of Aaron and Miriam, even though they were gifted by God, is displayed in their contrast with the excellent qualities of Moses. So these are some things that we have to think about when we consider our brothers and our sisters in Christ or out of Christ. Now time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, thou dost know that so often we look upon the things that our brothers and sisters in Christ do, and when we should rebuke them, we do not. And when we should keep our mouths shut, we speak out. Our God, forgive us. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore such an one in a spirit of gentleness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Our Father, we thank you for this man, Moses. We are aware of his shortcomings, but our Father, they are so few in comparison to the qualities that he has displayed. We thank you for the man, and we thank you for the qualities of Aaron and of Miriam, our God. We pray that all of us who have some gift, that we shall not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but so to think as to think soberly, according as God hath given to each man a measure of faith. So let us know when to speak, and let us know when to keep silence, and teach us good lessons from the lives of Miriam and Aaron and Moses. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.